that have committed themselves to the work that has to be done for the teaching of classes this quarter, and we pray that you will give them a good remembrance of the things that they have prepared as they have put these lessons together. We pray for all the parents and the leadership that the fathers are providing in the homes, for the work that the mothers are doing to take care of the children. And we pray that you will continue to give us comfort and guidance in this period of time, as you always do, but help us during our Bible study time period and also of our upcoming worship service to focus on you and your will and doing everything that we can to please you, so that when this life is over, we can be assured of heaven being our home for eternity. Please forgive us where we fall short and help us to always look to you for guidance and strength. We pray in your Son Jesus' name. So now we're going to start the frequently asked question class, and I do not have an overhead this morning, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab your Bible, grab some paper, grab something to write with, and I'd like for you to be able to make some notes as we go, okay? Hopefully you've already done that, and you're ready to roll, so I'm going to go ahead and get started with it. The question is, I've been a Christian for a number of years, but I just wanted to know if there is a way that I can know that I'm saved. Have you ever asked yourself that question before? Have you ever thought about, do I really know if I'm saved? And I think that's a good question. And there's a very obvious answer, and we're going to answer the question with a lot of questions. So that's a little bit of a circle there, but hopefully it will help us better understand the answer, and it'll also help us all be better committed to understanding what God expects of us if we're going to have the opportunity to be with Him in heaven for eternity. So, how can I know that I'm saved? Well, first thing that you've got to have that we're going to talk about this morning is faith. You've got to have faith. And again, if you will, take your Bible, and we're going to do some reading this morning. And I would like for you, if you will, to read in your Bible along with me. And as we consider the question of how can I know that I've been saved, the first thing that we've got to think about is our faith and the evidence of God's creation. In Genesis 1, that's where I want to start. And really, this is one of those verses that we've read for different reasons over time, one of those chapters that we've read for over time. But as we have slowed down during this pandemic, as we're spending more time with our families during this pandemic, as we're focusing more on things that are of God's creation, and I've seen that a lot. I've seen that a lot where people are going out and they're going to some of the parks in the state, or they're going to local parks. They're walking. They're looking at the trees that are blooming. They're looking at the birds and listening to the birds and listening to, and watching nature. I think it's a great time for us to reconsider Genesis 1. And I want you to read along with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and so the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the trees that yield fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. And then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, the sun and the moon. He made the stars also. God sent them into the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great creatures and everything living that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made, verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God said that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw that everything that he made, and indeed it was very good, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then if you go into chapter 2 for just a minute, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. As we think about those verses, as we think about the first chapter of Genesis, and we think about the fact that God spoke everything that was and is into existence. That's really a very powerful thought, and I'm afraid that the way things have been prior to this pandemic, it's real easy for us to get ourselves in a position where we're so caught up in the things of this world that man created that we forget that God created this world and everything good that is in it. God created us, and he set us on this earth and had expectations of us from the beginning of time. So when you ask yourself, how can I know that I'm saved? I guess the first part of that question is, do you believe that God spoke everything that is good in this world into existence? The birds of the air, the fish, the animals, the trees. He made a tree have a seed in it so it could reproduce itself. He made all of life have seed in it so that it could reproduce. God did that. So, do you believe that? That's one component, and a very necessary component of believing that God is God and that we can know that we are saved. Do we believe that God made man from the dust of the ground that it gets into in chapter 2? Do we believe that God, He made us from the dirt? From the dirt. And then He made His companion, His wife, Eve, from Adam's rib. Do we believe that? We must believe that. And we can't have any doubt that God created all that there is. And here's the question. If we can't believe in that, how can we believe that God can save us? If we can't believe that He spoke everything into existence, how can we believe Him? In 131, it says, God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Everything that He had made, we must believe that. We must believe that to have salvation. And if we don't believe it, we can't have salvation. That's the foundation of believing that He is who He says He is, and He did what He said He would do. In Hebrews, if you'll take your Bible and turn there for just a minute, it talks a lot about faith. It talks about the definition of faith. It talks about how important it is for us to have faith if we are going to please God. But I want to start with Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse 3, and it says, by faith, as it relates to what we just read in Genesis, by faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. It was only through His Word, His spoken Word, by Him saying, let it be so, and it was so. So do we believe that? Do we believe that He could do that, and that He did do that? And then go back up to verse 1 where it says, faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What do we hope for as children of God? We hope for heaven for eternity. And we've never seen heaven. Anybody walking the face of this earth has never seen heaven. But we can hope for it. We read about it. We believe it because He tells us that we are promised heaven. We have accounts of heaven in the Bible that we're going to go into more later on in this lesson on Wednesday night. But we must believe. We must have confidence in His Word and the fact that He did what He said He would do. The next point I want to make with regard to faith, and I guess you could put this as a B, first it would be faith and evidence of God's creation. The second point I want to make under faith is the validity of God's Word and Christ as His Son. So I want to go to a verse that we look at all the time. We talk about the validity of God's Word, and that's 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And what does it say? Everyone knows it very well. But what I want to point out this morning is the fact that we must believe. If we can know that we are saved, we must believe that God has completely revealed His Word to us and given us everything that we need to know. If there are people today that say, hey, God continues to reveal more to me today, no. He's not going to reveal something more to anyone walking on the face of this earth than He has already revealed. Now, it may be a realization of something that He's already revealed, but He's revealed all He's going to in His Word. All Scripture, verse 16, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So here's the points I want to make with regard to God's completely revealed Word to man. First, God through the Holy Spirit provided the inspiration for appointed men to pen what we have today in the Bible. And we've got to believe that it was inspired words from God to those men, and that it happened through the Holy Spirit for us to have the Bible that we have today. The second point with regard to the validity of God's Word is we've got to believe that it's complete. We've got to believe that it is everything that we need to know. And then we've just got to be diligent in our study of understanding it and doing the best that we can to apply it to our lives. And again, we're going to talk about that more on Wednesday night. We've got to believe that it's missing nothing, that we need to know what is right in the sight of God, and the Word has been penned in the embodiment of the man Jesus Christ. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Point three, under the validity of God's Word. We've got to believe that the Word is irrefutable, that the Word is irrefutable, that it is impossible. Irrefutable means it's impossible to deny or disprove. And there's lots of people that spend a lot of time trying to disprove God's Word. It cannot be disproved because it's complete based on what we read in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And if we are to believe that we are going to be saved, if we are going to say, how can I know that I'm saved? We've got to believe that. We've got to believe that it provides the guide, the template, the knowledge necessary to express our love to God through the lives that we live, the way that we walk, the way that we talk, the commitment that we make every day to Him. Right now, during this pandemic, we're having an opportunity to decide how much we believe God's Word. We're having an opportunity to believe and live by what it says every day, by dads being the leaders, all of you dads out there this morning listening, being the leaders that we need to be for our family, providing them the spiritual guidance, but also at the same time, helping them to get over difficult things. And if we even have difficult times during this time period, understanding what we've got to do to be able to get through it in our prayer to God, but still being the comfort that we need to be to our wives and to our children, while also providing the leadership that they need spiritually in their lives as well. And basically, it's about our commitment to Him every day. When we say that the Word's complete, we say it gives us everything we need to know. Where it says instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be complete or perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means we've got everything that we need to know. It means that it helps us to understand who it is that we're supposed to be. And again, I'm going to get into that more on Wednesday night. But the final point I want to make with regard to the Word being complete is you've got to believe that God's Word and that alone provides everything that we need to know. By digging into it, by understanding it, and by living by it every day so that we can be saved. If you can't believe that God's Word is the Bible, or you doubt the validity of the Word, you simply cannot know that you are saved. You can't. You can't. He wants us to search the Scriptures. He wants us to understand it. He wants us to gain knowledge from it. But we can't be saved if we do not believe that it's valid and it's complete. Okay, the next part I want to look at is with regard to Jesus as the Son of God. And I'm going to get into more on this on Wednesday night as well. But I want to start out with this one. In John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter in verses 1 through 5. And again, this falls under that same category of just the validity of God's Word and Christ as His Son. In John 1, 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word, Christ. And the Word, Christ, was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. From the beginning of time, Christ was with God as the Word, and then He came to this earth And he was the living word. So as the living word, Christ gave us everything we needed to know so that we could have a relationship with him and with God through him. So the first point that I want to make with regard to this is you must believe that Jesus was with God from the beginning of time, and that what he was in the beginning with God from the beginning of time. Second point is we've got to believe that everything that was made through him. The third point is we've got to believe that we can only have eternal life through him, through his blood. We have life in him while we are here on this earth if we are faithful to him and if we try to live righteous lives to the very best of our ability. Again, more on that Wednesday night. We are either beacons of light in this world or we are consumed by darkness in our lives while we're on this earth. And you know, here's the thing. You know, you say, well, I do the best I can. I really try hard. Okay. Do you continue to let darkness be a part of your life? And darkness is the devil. Darkness is, he's the king of lies it talks about in John the 8th chapter in verse 45. He is the king of lies, and everything that is evil and bad, that's Satan. And when we allow things that are not part of righteousness to be a part of our lives, then we have chosen Satan instead of God, instead of Christ, the light of the Word. So we've got to decide what is important to us. If we lie, if we cheat, if we steal, if we cheat on our spouse, if we're not committed to growing in knowledge in God's Word, if we say, you know what, I'm going to take this pandemic and that's going to be a little vacation from God. What does that say about who we are and what's important to us? God knows everything that goes on in our lives, every single second of every day. He knows every thought. He knows every action. Nothing is hidden from him. He knows it all. So we've got to decide what we're going to be committed to. And during this period of time, we really have to be decisive about our commitment to God, because it's a great way for the devil to try and take advantage of the situation. We've got to believe that we can only have eternal life through him. And like I said, we cannot let the darkness be a part of our lives. We look to Jesus, we look to the light and life that we have now and for eternity. Go to 1 John now, if you will, in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, and I want to look at verses 11 and 12. It says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." We can't doubt, we can know that we have eternal life if we are faithful to his word, if we live by his word, and if we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the remission of our sins. Point four, we're saved by the blood of Christ, and we walk in him, in the light of his word. 1 John, the first chapter, in verses 5 through 7. 1 John, the first chapter, and verses 5 through 7. It says, "This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one." We've got to choose to walk in the light. In this last class that we had in the auditorium, we talked about living intentional lives. And I'm telling you, if you've never thought about that before, there's never a more relevant time than now to think about living an intentional life. to think about having an important commitment to God's Word in making sure you don't lose sight of what's going on. I don't know about you, but I am a guy of routine. I love routine. Routine kind of helps me set everything in order in my day, every day. And I also work from home. And so I had a few things working for me when all this started, other than wanting to get out and interact with people on a regular basis. But I already worked at home, so I had a routine there. And I'm a routine kind of guy. So certainly this has been a little bit of a hardship. It's been a tragedy worldwide in what has happened with the pandemic. But for me personally, it's been manageable because of things I already had in place in my life. And my point is this morning, we need to have routine. We need to be intentional in our commitment to God and trying to live the way that He wants us to live and the things that we do and say and how we live every day. Well, I've just got a few more things that I want to share with you as we are going to close the class this morning, and then we'll have a brief time period between now when we're having our Bible studies and then also when our worship service starts at 10 o'clock. And I'm going to have more on the thought of Jesus Christ and Him as our Savior. But what I want to leave you with, and here's what I want you to be thinking about. So take your pencil out or pen and, again, make some notes on this. The next thing I want to talk about on Wednesday night is I want to talk about a working faith. How can I know that I'm saved? Well, one of the answers is you've got to know that you have a working faith. And I want you to be looking at Ephesians, and we're going to talk about the armor of God. I also want you to be thinking about James. James, the second chapter, in verses 14 through 22. So go ahead and pre-read those scriptures. Be thinking about those scriptures, and we're going to talk about those in more detail. And then also I want you to read in Matthew, in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew, the fifth chapter through the seventh chapter. And I'm going to hit a number of verses in there as well. And then you can also look at 1st and 2nd Peter and read over those. And I know you have time. So between now and Wednesday, I'd like for you to review those verses. And like I say, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about our working faith. We're going to talk about our diligence and commitment to that working faith and how we let that live in our lives every day. We're going to also talk about, you know, can we earn salvation with regard to the work that we do and that working faith that we have in our lives, and then diligence and wisdom. And so, again, if you will, read those verses, be thinking about those, and I'll be looking forward to being back with you again on Wednesday night as we continue this study from frequently asked questions and lessons that we know about. There's what we'll be having at our worship service a little bit later. So if you need to get anybody to tune in that does not have access to the internet, you can do this. You can have them call the WebEx number, and we'll link that up. It's 415-655-0003, and then enter the conference code 4969-31107, and then #. And that will get them to the phone call that will allow them to be able to join us on the telephone for the worship service if they do not have access to the internet. Thanks for your attention this morning, and I hope that